All right. Well, good morning. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So if you have your Bible, turn there this morning with me. If you have a Bible, let's just do this. Show it. Pull it up. Hold it up. Let me see if you got one. If you have a digital maybe Bible that also has a lot of other apps on it, that's okay too. Okay. And then if you have a notepad, something to write on, go ahead and let's see that as well. So there's going to be a lot of scripture and there's going to be a lot of notes. And I promise you, if it's up on the screen, it's good to write down. So I'm excited to be with you guys this morning. Pastor Stephen, want to thank him for letting me be here. My hand's still stinging a little bit because we high-fived on Steubner as we passed each other. He's at the Champions Campus, and I get to be here with you guys today. And let me tell you, it is awesome to be here at North Cline. I'm hearing so much about what God is doing here, but then seeing it so clear. I mean, in the first service, there were three baptisms, a building coming up, groups everywhere. It is phenomenal, and it is a joy to be with you guys this morning. So thank you for allowing me to do that. And I understand I am the last thing keeping you from lunch. So I promise I will try my dead level best to keep our time short and sweet. Somebody told me as soon as I started in ministry, there's no such thing as a bad short sermon. So let's just hope for that. But it's going to be a good time because it is God's word. And if God has said it, we can apply it to our life. So a little bit about me. If we haven't met yet, again, my name is Emery. And my wife is 100% the better half of our relationship. Her name is Macy, and we have a 2-year-old daughter named Parker. So if you want to know where we're at in life, that's probably all you need to know, is that if I'm not at the church, I am helping contain, I guess is a good word, raise might be a better word, raising a 2-year-old, and my wife is 6 months pregnant with a baby boy due in October now. So thank you. Also, please just be praying for us. It is a fun time. It's a busy time. And so I get to serve as the young adult pastor, which is 18 to 40. People ask me all the time, they're like, what is a young adult? And I'm like, if you feel like you're a young adult in here, like, just come on, join us. It's more about what you feel, how you feel, but 18 to 40. And so it's just so cool to see in our church as a whole, the young people coming in, young singles and young couples, young families, that God is just raising up as the next generation of the church. It's a blessing and it's an encouragement. And I know that is true here as well, just to see that. So we are going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Again, if you want to go ahead and flip there, we're going to start in verse 8. But as a young adult pastor, I think a lot about promises that people can make us. We do a kind of a young single service and you hear some interesting things. But before I was a young adult pastor, I was a student pastor. And a student pastor, if y'all have been in student ministry, around student ministry, if you have a teenager or if you've been a teenager, you know there's some interesting things that happen in that world. Adam Pemberton is a dear, dear friend of mine, and he reminds me regularly of how interesting teenagers can be at times. And so I thought back as we're opening God's word to read a promise that God makes us, how many promises I heard in my time in student ministry. There were some that were great, some that were bad, some that were weird, and a lot that were broken. Some of the good ones were something that you'd obviously celebrate. Like when a kid comes up to you and says, I promise I am going to go through our discipleship program. You're like, praise God. Like, that's a great promise to make. For us at Champion Forest, we have Next Steps, which is like 6 weeks, six sessions on the foundations of the faith. And so they would say, man, I promise I'm going to go through that. And you're like, great. And then they take it up a notch. They're like, I've been through it. Now I promise I'm going to take somebody else through it. You're like, man, look at this discipleship. They're promising things. And you're like, that's encouraging. Sometimes they'll even say stuff like, man, I promise I'm giving my life to ministry. And that just gets me fired up. And those are great promises. But then sometimes you get like, I guess what I would say is like a bad promise. So like on Wednesday night, a student comes up to you right before the youth service starts and goes, I promise you I'm going to distract you today while you try to teach. You're like, I don't even know why you would think to come up with that. And they stand in the back and just do cartwheels the whole time. You're like, yep, you kept that promise. You can check that off. Or they're like, Emery, I promise you, I'm not even coming to church this week. I'm going to stay home and play Xbox. And you're like, again, what are we doing here? But broken promises as well. And obviously there are some things in ministry that can be difficult at times when a student promises to walk with the Lord and they actually end up walking away from the faith. That's a hard promise to see broken. But then there's much more realistic things, like often and frequent, somebody says, hey, I want to meet with you at 6:30 in the morning to start a discipleship thing together. And you're like, great, let's meet at Chick-fil-A. And let me tell you, I can't tell you how many times I got to Chick-fil-A and ate by myself that morning because someone said that they would be there and broke their promise. But the promise that wasn't just broken, I mean, it was like disintegrated, obliterated, was middle school boy, like seventh grade boys at camp, when they look you in the eye and they say, we're gonna go to bed when you tell us to go to bed. If you wanna talk about just pure chaos, like, I mean, it wasn't fun, it wasn't funny. It's like 3 a.m. and the room is on fire, right? Like, that is a promise that was absolutely broken into a million pieces. But guess what? I mean, this isn't just for teenagers, this is for everyone. Everyone at some point breaks a promise. We've all had someone that has broken a promise that they've made us. And that's hard to be on that end of things, right? Whether it's a best friend, maybe it's your spouse, it's one of your kids, maybe it's your parent. Someone has broken a promise that they've made you before. And that's a difficult thing to deal with. Why do we do that, though? Like, why are promises broken? Well, a lot of the time it's pressure, right? Like, other things come up. We say, man, I know I've given my word over here, but I kind of feel like I'm getting pushed from some other place, some other person. So I'm going to have to break that promise or we forget. I will lead with that one. We forget. I promise my wife, I'm going to get food on the way home. Go straight home, right? And you're like, you missing anything? I'm like, no, it was a great day at work. How are you? You forgot the Chick-fil-A that you said you were going to get. There's a theme, by the way, of Chick-fil-A here. We promise a lot of things, but oftentimes what happens is that we overpromise, we overcommit, we give our word past our ability of keeping it. And this is something that we've all been guilty of and that we've all been through on the other side of this. And I've realized in my own life, my finite ability, my humanity, my sinfulness, my inability to do things that I've given my word about. But what I love, and here's the beautiful thing about our God, is that he never breaks his promises. He's never broken them before, he's not breaking them now, and he never will. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So everything that he's promised us, he's delivered. Everything that he's assured, he's brought through. So promises, this is the perk, by the way, of going about halfway through the summer in this series, is you get to listen to other people and you're like, I'm going to write that down real quick. So this is not original to me, but promises are only as good as the promise maker, right? And so you and I, we know that, right? We've made promises and we've broken them because at the end of the day, we're human, we're sinful. We've understood that about other people. It's like, you know that person that promises you something all the time, and before they're even done with the promise, you're like, I put no stock in that. Like, they said they're gonna be there at 5, I'll see you at 7:30, okay? It's just not gonna happen. But a promise is only as good as the promise maker, and that's why God is always keeping his promise. And our promise today is found in Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's in verse 8. We're going to read more than this, but I want us to look at our promise first. It says in verse 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So here's the promise. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. If you're a note taker, and I hope that you are, just go ahead and jot this down. God promises his presence. God promises us his presence. So if we're a child of God, we know that because of what he's promised us, that he is never gonna leave us no matter what's going on in our life. No matter what, no matter the circumstances, no matter if we feel like that's true or not, God is near. His presence is with us. But what significance does this hold? I mean, like, I know people, and I'm sure you do, that like when you're in their presence, like all you kind of want is a break from their presence. You know what I mean? So to hear that sometimes can be a little bit like it's a lot, like your presence is all the time. But the beautiful thing about our God is that his presence brings so much with it. Look at this. It brings rest. God's presence brings rest. Exodus 33 in the Old Testament, it says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Does anybody need some of that right now? Whether you just got done with VBS or camp, or if you're about to do middle school camp next week, we are praying in advance for you for that rest to come. We need rest, and in God's presence, we can find it. We can find joy. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 16, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. I know that we live in a world that is devoid of joy. Like the world's looking for it. It's searching for it. But we, in the presence of God, can experience that because he is the source of joy. It's never going to leave. It's never going to change. It's never going to abandon us, that joy. There's renewal. I mean, that's like a step up from just rest. Like, I don't just need a little bit of help. Like, I need a whole restart, right? Maybe it's just me, but it says in Acts chapter 3, it says that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The parents in the room, y'all are like, can it be like mid-August yet so we can go ahead and get that free daycare that we call school? Like, let's go. I need refreshing. I need some help. I need somebody to hit refresh in my life. And God's presence brings that more than anything else that we can fathom, and it brings peace. Again, in the New Testament, in the book of John, chapter 16, it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the presence of God, he alone is going to bring peace. And so we were going to look at this verse 8 of Deuteronomy 31, but we're going to look at the preceding verses. But note this, like if you're thinking about this verse and you're hearing the promise of God's presence, that is a beautiful thing. But I want you to understand clearly, it promises us God's presence, but it does not promise that everything's always going to be smooth and easy. It doesn't promise that everything's going to be just like great, awesome, there's always a breeze at your back, the sun on your face. It means in the midst of difficulty, we'll get more into this, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of not knowing, in the midst of anything that you can fathom, God is there with us. And if that's the case, he will sustain us. So today we're going to look at three notes that you can take about the promise of the presence of God. So write this down, stay with me. The promise of God's presence, it often looks different than you imagined. God's presence, God's promises to us often look different than we imagined. So you've probably known this by now in your life, like if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, oftentimes we hear God's promises and we say, that's great, as long as it kind of fits the parameters of what I know, what I want, what I'm comfortable with, what I've seen before. So as long as I get the job that I've kind of been working toward and the salary that's comfortable and the family that looks like what I want it to and the social life that I want, like that's great, I want that promise. But God's promises often look so much different than that. So let's get a little context here. What we read in verse 8 is Moses talking directly to Joshua. But the verses before that are Moses kind of in his farewell address. This is at the very end of Moses' life. He's speaking to all of Israel, a nation that he's led for years and years and years. And Moses, let me tell you, didn't think things were going to be the way that they were. There was a pretty clear understanding of how things were going to go, but because of Moses' disobedience in the desert, God changed up what Moses thought was going to happen. But what's beautiful about this, and we'll get into this, is that man's plans changed, but God's plan stayed the same through it all. So let's look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy 31. It'll be on the screen. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan into the promised land. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and to Og and the kings of the Amorites into their land that he destroyed them, and the Lord will give them over to you. And you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is Moses to all the people of Israel. Some things that are going on here. Moses is actually still in good health in this passage. When you read, he's 120 years old, and it says he's not able to go out and come in. That doesn't mean that he's physically incapable. It means he's no longer fit to lead. And this is at Moses' marker where he's 120 years old. He's been alive for three generations now of faithfulness. I mean, his grandchildren are grown at this point. And he knows at this point that he's not going to walk into the promised land with his people, but he thought that would be the plan for a really long time. And what he's doing here is telling the people that he's handing the baton off to Joshua. So everybody was kind of looking to Moses, but he's publicly handing off the baton. Now, you might not know this, but I was, back in the day, a little bit of an athlete. Let me give you a little perspective here, a little history, a little story about me. For Westbrook High School in Beaumont, Texas, was on the JV track team in ninth grade, okay? Junior varsity track team. And I just want to tell you something. The peak of my athletic career happened at the district championship where I won the gold in the shot put. Now, also want you to know that only two other people showed up that day and they forgot how to throw. But that was like the peak of my athletic career. JV shot put, nailed it, okay? And I did awesome, but even better than that, that's a pretty low bar, by the way, just if you wanted perspective on that. But the best thing about being on the field side of the track and field was that I never had to run, except we did something called the big man relay. Do y'all know this? Y'all know about this? Where they take all the people that like throw the heavy metal objects, and they're like, we're gonna watch you run around the track. And this is like 10% for sport and like 90% for entertainment for everybody else. Because it's like all the big fellas are going to run as fast as they can. And the best part about it is not only are they awful to watch run, the baton handoff is atrocious. I think if they would have used like a Big Mac or something, it would have gone a lot better. But it did not go well. I mean, it was awful. But what we're seeing here is that baton handoff, right? There's a transition from one leader to the next. But what we're seeing is that transition with man is happening, but God's promises are staying the same. He's promising us, he's promising his people that no matter what happens, at 120 years of age for Moses and Joshua's stepping up into leadership, that God's presence is not going to leave them. So for perspective, they can kind of see the promised land from where they are, but they are basically surrounded by enemies. So they're not yet to a new place, a new land that God's promised them. And they're seeing all around them, man, there's enemies, there are people that we don't know if we can beat them. We don't know if we can take what God's told us that we're going to have. And in this, we see the beauty of who God is. I mean, for perspective, again, Moses is 120 years old. He spent 40 years in Egypt just learning and growing. He spent 40 years, a whole generation, sojourning in Midian, kind of just getting prepared for what was to come. In the last 40 years of his life, he guided, led, and governed the Israelites. He was their leader. And I don't know about you, but I know when there's times of uncertainty, I want somebody around me that's been there, done that. I don't want the new guy to step in right when like the biggest moment of my life is coming up. I want the person that's been there, done that, and knows how to lead. And what's happening is everybody in Israel is seeing that's not gonna be the case. Joshua is going to be the one to lead us into the promised land. And Moses is reminding them, whether it's me or Joshua, God's presence is with us. And so what I want you to think about this morning is this. When life doesn't happen like you expected, are you still obedient to God because you know he keeps his promises? Think about that. The second thing that I want us to look at in the promise of God's presence is that it does not have an expiration date. God's presence doesn't have an expiration date. If you look at verse 7, it says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. He says that the Lord is going to be with him. The Lord is going to be with Israel. He's not going to leave them or forsake them. So this presence of God that's been with them, that's been with Moses, is going to remain. If you look at kind of the original language, this not leaving or forsaking looks like not failing, not letting go. And so the kind of picture that Moses is painting is that Joshua is going to be right in the palm of God's hand, and his grip will never slip. His grip will never let go of his people. No matter what comes against them, no matter what enemies rise up and try to lay hands on them, God's hand of protection is over them. And so nothing can change that. This promise of God's presence never going away has been wildly encouraging to me. Every time that I get to speak or teach, it feels like God kind of preaches to me first. And one of the things this week that I had to face was the difficulty of trusting him with my family. Like, I know that God's shown up time and time again in my life, but now I look at my 2-year-old daughter and my son on the way, and I go, man, we live in a pretty crazy world. Like, I don't really like what I'm seeing outside of these walls in the world that we're going to raise our children in, and it's kind of scary. I'm probably not supposed to tell you that up here, but it is. It's frightening. But then I read this and I see that God's presence is still with us. That if God's promised it to me as a child of God, that his promise won't stop as my children grow up in this world. And I want y'all to be encouraged by that, because you're probably ahead of the game compared to me right now with your children growing up. But God's presence is the same. It's still there. The same God that you worship will never leave or forsake your children. In Deuteronomy 31:4, God's telling us that he's going to do to the enemies of God then, just as he's done before. God takes care of his enemies, and God takes care of his people. God takes care of it all, and his presence will never leave. We can bet everything on that. We have to bet everything on that. And the third note that I want you to take about the promise of God's presence is that it requires a response. It requires a response. So in seeing this transition happen, first publicly to the nation of Israel, but then in front of the nation of Israel to Joshua, we see not only what God promises us, but what he tells us to do. And that's a really great thing about the God that we serve, is that he tells us who he is. He tells us what he's going to do, but he also shows us, tells us how we should respond. That he doesn't leave it blank. I mean, I'm a pretty like clear-cut person. If you want me to do something, I want to know all the steps along the way that I should hit. And God does this clearly here. If you look at verse 7 and 8, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and be courageous. Those are things that are difficult to do. But the command is still the same. This is coming from a seasoned leader, 120 years old, 3 generations, and he's saying, I've seen what the presence of God can do. I'm telling you, be strong and courageous. If you are walking in the presence of God, you can be strong and courageous. And then in verse 8, it says this, it's God, it's the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you or take his hand off of you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So you kind of see it in the positive, be strong and courageous, and in the negative, don't fear. Don't be dismayed. I mean, I need that more often than I need what to be. Is I can live in like fear. I can live in worry. I can live in worrying about things that are outside of my control. And our God is telling us, hey, I'm with you. So what are you worried about? Why do you keep dwelling on this stuff that I'm in control of? Why are you not worried about being in my presence? God shows us how we should respond. And what I know about our God is that he will never command us to do what he has not equipped us for. He will never command us to do something that he's not equipped us for. So if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're born again believers, if God has given us new life and we are walking with him, whatever he's called us to do, he will equip us for as a staff right now through the summer. Summer reading is a funny thing. We're reading a book. I thought we were done with that a long time ago, but we're reading together as a staff this book called The Strength That You Need. It's by Robert Morgan. And I mean, that's one of those books that you read the title and you're like, I will be picking this up, yes. I need all the strength, all the help that I can get. And the first chapter of this book is just about a couple of chapters after the text that we read. In Deuteronomy 33, it says this, and as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. So what does that mean? That means as long as God has ordered your days, as many days as God's given you, he's going to give you the strength for it. He's not just going to step back one day and be like, oh, guess you got to figure this out. He's going to give you the strength for what he's called you to do. That's a beautiful thing. That as I walk with my God, my creator, my savior, the one that loves me and desires for me to be in his presence, he's going to equip me to do the things that he's called me to do. Reminder, a promise is only as good as the promise maker. So if it's a seventh grade boy telling you, hey, I'm going to go to sleep on time, don't put a lot of weight on that, okay? Whether it's that person that's lied to you over and over and over again and broken those promises, hey, I'm going to be there on time, I'm going to be there on time, and they're not even done talking, and you've already ruled it out. Our God is a God that has a spotless, perfect track record. He's kept every one of his promises because he is the great I am. He is eternal, he is sovereign, he is powerful, he is worthy, and we can bet everything on who he is. And so if he said he's going to be with us, I want to believe that. I want to live as though that's true. And this is a great thing that God has said that he is going to be with us, that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. This was a long time ago with Israel in the desert before they even got to the promised land. And it's true today. It's so true that he sent his son for me and for you. That Jesus came to this earth so that we could be near, that we could be with a God that loves us, but a God that is pure and holy and righteous. That's crazy. But that's the God who loves us. That's the presence, the power of the presence of the God that we serve. And here's kind of what I want to land the plane with. If you're still taking notes, this is the last thing that I want you to write down. Kind of a point of application is this, that God's presence should affect our peace, our pace, and our priorities. God's presence, who he is, and being in his presence should affect everything about us. It should bring us peace. Isaiah 26:3 is a verse that I have gone to over and over and over again in my life because I need it. Dealing with anxiety, dealing with worry, dealing with always tending to go to the things that I can't control. Read this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's the God that we serve. He can keep us in perfect peace when everything around us is crazy. When we don't feel like we are to where we're supposed to be going, and when we feel like we're surrounded by impossible situations, he keeps us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. It should affect our pace. Like when we're in the presence of God, it should set our pace. With Moses, with Joshua, with the people of God, with the nation of Israel. Like Moses is not rushing. And I think I'm probably in a room that we're all similar in this way, most of us at least. We like to go. We like to do. We want to get things done and make money and get the job done. And people look to us for getting things done. And let me tell you, when we're walking with God in his presence, we're never going to rush. We're not going to do everything like it's based on us. We're going to trust him as we walk. We're going to walk at his pace. That also means, maybe if you're not in the first camp, that we're not going to be lazy either. We're going to be obedient even when we don't feel like it. We're going to remember the truth of God's word that his presence is worth everything. In Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I am God. Being still is really tough. We got to make time to be still. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in this earth. Let that set the pace. If your life is not exalting him, let's change the pace of our life so that we can do that with everything in us. And then the last thing, God, his presence should set our priorities. It should reorder them. We talked about this as we sang. We sang this together, but Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything else will come. Everything else will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom. That should be the priority, to be in his presence, to be with him. As believers, our desire should be to be in the presence of God more than anything or anyone else. That's where our power comes from. That's where our hope comes from. That should change everything about us because he is better and he is worth it. And he is a God that is near to us, that is never going to let us slip out of the palm of his hand. And that's something that we can celebrate this morning. And so what I want us to do is just simply right where you are, just close your eyes and bow your heads. But we're going to continue as we wrap up this service. Pastor Lewis is going to come up and the band's going to play a little bit. But what I want you to do right now is just simply think about, kind of take some stock in your life. If you are putting anything else before desiring to be in the presence of God. Like, he's made it obvious that his presence is always with us, but sometimes we try to run from it. Sometimes we don't believe that being in his presence is enough. That as a son or a daughter of God, that the gospel that Jesus came to earth and lived a perfect life and died for us so that we could be made new and we could live in eternity in the presence of God. Sometimes we believe that that's not enough. Maybe you've been believing that, and maybe today is the day that you're done with it. That you're simply saying, I want to be in the presence of God. Not only now, but into eternity. I want what God wants for my life, and that's to be together. That's to be in his presence, because there's nothing better than that. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity to open your word. God, I pray that it would change us. God, that if we seek anything or anyone more than we seek being in your presence, God, that that would change. God, that you would convict us. God, that we wouldn't want anything else like we want you, because of how much that you want us. God, that you created us for a relationship with you, that you redeemed us so that we could have that relationship with you. God, I pray that we would go and that we would live like that's true, that your presence changes everything, that we would be vocal, that we would live out our faith, and that other people would come into your presence and be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforce.org. We'll see you very soon.